Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. Kurt Angle is arrested for a DUI. Just one count, Aaron, is that right?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, he got arrested late Thursday night, and the news broke on Friday, right after we recorded, so unfortunately, we weren't able to talk about it then. However, though, Kurt has come out and said that he was not intoxicated and that they were wrong and whatnot. So it's just one of those things where more than likely he probably had a little too much to drink. They haven't released what his blood alcohol level was, but I'm sure it probably was, right around the mark. But he'll probably get off.
He probably will. Yeah, I love his mugshot, by the way. He's just happy. He's like,
his mugshot was awesome.
Yeah, he's like, hi, I got arrested. I want to have a good picture.
Yeah.
And something that you will never hear in that prison, or I'm sorry, that jail that Kurt Angle was at, Michael Cole decides to tweet a derogatory gay slur, and a lot of people took offense to this, and, I mean, what else did you hear about?
Well, apparently, and I don't know, maybe it just rolled off my back. But a couple weeks ago, John Cena questioned The Rock's masculinity and him being a man and basically called him gay and like so many other words. And I don't know if it just rolled off or what, but GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Against Defamation Alliance Against Defamation, they got all over WWE because they're a publicly traded company. So, they can get on them about this stuff. And then when Michael Cole tweeted this out, he tweeted a very derogatory gay slur. And when this happened, they jumped all over the WWE. Now, I will defend what John Cena said, because you know what? It's a show that it's like watching a soap opera. You voted for Arnold Schwarzenegger not because he was the Terminator or because he said bad words or he, said all these bad things. You voted for him because he played those characters. That doesn't mean that's him. John Cena is playing a character. Mm-hmm. And so when he challenges The Rock's masculinity, he's doing it in a fun way. He's not – and then again, maybe he said something really bad, but I just didn't, hear it. So I think that them going after what John Cena said is pretty but Michael Cole, he's an idiot. He really is an idiot for doing this. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's just classless. I mean, he should have known better than to tweet that out. I mean, it's just horrible. I mean, I don't know. Does he think that he's bigger than life? Some people, when this happens, they get fired.
Yeah.
I mean.
Like Grey's Anatomy, your favorite show.
Oh, no, it's not. I hate that show. No, but I mean, I think that they should punish him in a way, and they haven't, and because they can't, because he's in a storyline, a major one, and it's this close.
Very major one, yeah. They're saying that this is the fourth main event for WrestleMania, which is kind of weird. But, something else to bring up, too, is that backstage, people have been saying that Michael Cole's ego is getting out of control. They're saying that he is actually kind of taking on his persona of his on-screen character, being the voice of the WWE. Backstage, apparently, he's kind of acting like that too. What do you think?
Oh, geez. This is just headed nowhere. I mean, the thing is, Michael Cole, great. He's gone up the ranks, got picked on all the time, and finally got to this where he's, basically kind of a big part of Raw. I see where you have an ego and you have to have one, but at least backstage, you have to still be the same person you were. And I think he's having trouble going back to that person, if that makes sense.
I think that's something that everyone should always know is that they are never above their company, ever. That company can always do without that person. After Bill Gates left Microsoft, you have someone to step in. Steve Ballmer steps in. If Steve Jobs leaves Apple, someone else will take his place. if Vince McMahon leaves the WWE, someone else will come in and fill that void. Same thing with Michael Cole. If Michael Cole leaves, someone else will be there to step in and take over for Michael Cole. It's not like people will be missing him. And so that's something that I think everyone should understand, is that no one is ever above their company.
Exactly. Completely understand. So anyways, the WWE released Fit Finley this week. I thought this was horrible. The reason being is, of course, he had there was a national anthem playing, and then The Miz came out halfway through. And since the National Guard is a sponsor of the WWE, someone had to get terminated over it. So Fit Finley, he just wants a 3-month vacation is what he wants. And he got it.
He'll probably end up coming back, too, you know. That or he'll go to TNA, you know, and work weekends, you know. He'll work a few days a week.
Whatever happened to Daniel Bryan? Oh, that's right. He got released and then came back exactly on his 90 days.
I really wish that he would have gone to TNA, because to see Daniel Bryan versus Kurt Angle or AJ Styles would be amazing. But they probably – who knows what they would have done with this character.
Honestly, dude, I think what happened was they're like, we're going to release you, but here's what we want you to do. You know, I think that's what really happened.
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, so we have heard lately that they're going to have a ton of Latino talent to SmackDown. Are they going to be kind of, I don't know, this is kind of weird to me. Are they going back to the WCW ways, getting the cruiserweights over there, or what?
Well, apparently the SmackDown viewership, they're heavily Latino. Apparently that's where they get most of their Latino viewers. And if you have a certain group of people watching that, like if it was African-American or black people watching Raw, you'd probably want more African-American or black people wrestlers on there. So that way you can get, you know, that way they'll get behind this character. And that's what's happening over on SmackDown. So that's why Alberto Del Rio was there, why you had Rey Mysterio. Sin Cara, they're saying, though, is going to debut on Raw. So I don't know if he's going to be over there and then get moved to SmackDown or what. But they're saying that there could be an influx of Latino characters. And like you said earlier, it would be nice, because you know what? I know you and I are in agreement. We both really like the Luchadors. It really helped get you excited for the WCW matches, you know, for Nitro or for, you know, their pay-per-views or whatever. So I would be happy with this. What about you?
I'm completely happy. It's going to be nice, because then you get to see the more acrobatic wrestling opposed to the, you know, kick punch, fall down wrestling. So anyways,
you know what though? We'll probably start watching SmackDown a little more often, because
the thing
it's
is
about 10, 15 minutes for me.
Right. You know what? Sin Cara, now I think about it, if he makes his debut on Raw, and then they're going to have the draft, in a couple of weeks, I thought they announced they're going to do another draft. So you could have Sin Cara a couple of weeks on Raw, then have him go over to SmackDown, have a feud with Del Rio or Rey Mysterio, which would be great, would be excellent matches. So,
yeah.
Anyways, Snooki decides to go to the shoot that they had on the Raw segment, the bar segment, of course, and shows up four hours late and is completely smashed. Completely.
And you could tell in that the segment. She's like, this is what my trainer, Trish Stratus, and I are doing. And like, you could tell how wasted she was. And that segment really sucked. Like, it really, really sucked. And that was the best that they could do. And she showed up 4 hours late? And how long did it take to tape the thing?
5 hours.
For how long of a spot? 3 minutes?
3 minutes. 3 minutes. And the thing is, and here's the funny part. The first shot is like 50 seconds long. So real time it took to shoot the other, two hours and 10 minutes? It took 4 hours and 50 minutes. Or no, 4 hours and 59 minutes. That's pretty sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's just pathetic. I mean, it's not that hard, but I guess she's just that great of an actress. She's
my question is this. Do you think that the WWE bought off more than they could chew?
Yeah. I'd be surprised if she shows up for WrestleMania right now. I mean, in all seriousness, I'd be surprised if she shows up.
She'll be there. She's getting a huge payday for this.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
A huge payday. But the only thing for me is, why even have her at WrestleMania? Like, I don't know anyone that's going to be buying the pay-per-view for this. You know, and I understand. You're buying the pay-per-view for this?
No. Okay.
I don't know anyone that will, though, in my opinion. I don't know anyone that's thinking, you know what? Snooki's going to be there? I'll get it. I know people who are like, The Rock's going to be there? Okay. Stone Cold? You know? Okay.
And Snooki's going to be there? Oh, I got to get
this like,
now.
Snooki? The trifecta. That's the trifecta right there. Rock, Stone Cold, Snooki. You know? Yeah. It's awesome.
It's the Eiffel Tower. So going on to the rumor mill, Rey Mysterio is leaving the WWE. Supposedly he asked for his release, but then tweeted that it didn't happen. So
a couple months ago, he asked for his release. He blew up at management, and there were a few reports that I saw that said that he did do this, that this was legit, and that he was saying, you know, I just want to leave. I don't even want to be here anymore. And there were reasons behind it because he's been asked to star in some Mexican films, Mexican movies. And apparently he has been asking for his release, and that's why they brought in Sin Cara and why they pushed Alberto Del Rio, because they want the main event Latino stars. You don't want to have some like mid-card or lower mid-card. So that's what's saying. So what do you think? I mean, do you think that he's going to leave?
I don't think so. I think he's going to wrestle for another 2 years, and I think that's when he's going to call it. I think that he'll be kind of – it'll get to that point where he'll just have to retire, and because his knees are so bad. And, I think a couple more years, and I think he's going to call it. But I'd like to see him actually get demasked.
Have a mask versus mask match.
Yeah, because, I actually saw what Sin Cara looks like. He does need a mask, but Rey doesn't need one.
No, he doesn't.
He could actually get away. I mean, when he in WCW in the final days, he never wore his mask, and he looked fine. And you know, some people, there's a reason why they wear a mask. You know, and there's some that they don't need the mask, but they wear it anyways.
Like La Parca. I'm sorry, if you've seen him, he's god awfully ugly. I have no idea. I'm just
no. He is, dude. He is one of those. It's like, oh, you're La Parca? Oh, I understand now.
You know, the thing is, though, I think about Rey Mysterio without his mask, and I think his mask itself, it's him, you know? Like, it is him as a person. And when he took it off, while, you know, I loved the acrobatics that he did, you know, him and the Filthy Animals, and I really liked the character that he had, it wasn't the same without the mask, you know? Like, it's weird. I don't know if it's because I always saw him in it, or if just because the mask makes the man. But that's kind of the way I was kind of thinking of it.
Okay, all right.
But anyway, that's just me.
Anyway, so the rumor is that he's going to leave after WrestleMania. We'll see if that happens, because I don't see it happening.
If it does, you heard it here first.
That is correct. Let's go on to Raw. Raw is in Chi-Town this week. And
no one calls it Chi-Town.
Okay, us outsiders call it Chi-Town. But most people just call it Chicago or home. I like to say Chi-Town, so yeah. Anyway, so Punk opens up in Chicago, and he is sitting in the ring with one spotlight on him everywhere it's dark. And he talks. And I fast forward. And then Orton decides to come out finally, and they get into a brawl. And he actually hurts Orton pretty bad, I thought. Because Orton couldn't punt him.
Yeah. Which, you know, it makes me wonder, I mean, the way that the segment ended, and we just did our WrestleMania special a couple days ago, and in there, you and I both predicted CM Punk because it'll actually help out a storyline. But, you know, after this segment, it's one of those things where you can see Randy Orton winning, you know, like, because last year, and I don't know if I mentioned this in the show or not, but last year, Randy Orton didn't put over Ted DiBiase Jr., or Cody Rhodes, and he could have. If he put either one of those guys over, they would have been megastars. But the problem is they didn't put him over, and so they instead were pushing Randy Orton. This is another one of those examples where it could be the same thing. But the segment itself I actually kind of liked for one reason, which was he was talking about his hometown, and then he kind of made fun of it a little bit, and people still cheered him because he's from Chicago. And I actually enjoyed the segment. It's unfortunate that they only had the first like 5 minutes of Raw dedicated to this, and the rest was dedicated to some of the other crappy matches. I think that this one should have been given a lot more time. I don't know. You got any anything else to add to that?
You put it best when he said it like that. Actually, I do have a problem with Raw Pro. Actually, I have a problem with the WWE right now. Do you know that next Monday, you know, after WrestleMania, programming starts at 7 p.m. and doesn't end until 11:05 if there's no overruns? If there's overruns, it could be 11:30.
Oh, there's a three-hour Raw?
No, they have a Hall of Fame beforehand, then Raw, and then Tough Enough.
Oh, jeez.
I have a problem now.
How much wrestling do we need? I mean, you and I are wrestling fans. How much wrestling do you need in a day?
That's honestly a lot. I mean, the Hall of Fame, because the Hall of Fame, they can probably edit so it's at 60 minutes. And then Raw, you don't know if what the overrun's going to be. I mean, there might be a huge one. There might not be one at all.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I think it's kind of crap that you basically have to set your DVR to end at 11:30 with all the programming.
Yeah.
Anyway, so after this, Triple H, Undertaker have a thing. They sit there and stare down at each other. I was bored. Then all of a sudden, Shawn Michaels comes out and starts talking. And what makes you think if I can't beat him, that you can beat him? I thought that line was really cool. HBK goes to basically go for the super kick and misses, which I thought was kind of funny. I could care less about this segment. It's so boring. And I just know that Triple H is going to end up winning. I just know it.
But you said that.
I said it was Taker. I said it was Taker. But I just have a bad feeling that it's going to be 18-1. And then I want to be that guy who holds up what do the 85 Bears and what the 07 Patriots have in common, or the 08 Patriots have in common. They both went 18-1. They all are 18-1. Yeah, anyways. So what do you think about this, Aaron?
The same thing as you. I was bored by it. And, you know, I understand that they're trying to make this their big marquee matchup. I really think, though, I'm making a little prediction now based on some of the things that I've heard, because they're still going back and forth whether it's going to be Taker and Triple H closing it or Miz Cena. I'm going to say Miz Cena is going to close it, because I think that The Rock is a draw. And Triple H and Taker, I'm sorry, while a lot of people consider them legends, you and I aren't big fans of either of them. The Rock, for everyone, is a draw. And so that's going to be my prediction for that. As far as the segment goes, though, you know, I'm going to echo what you said. So let's move on to Jerry the King Lawler and Michael Cole doing their feud through Jack Swagger, because Michael Cole can't wrestle. And so this match at WrestleMania is going to be terrible. Your thoughts?
Oh, it's going to be bad. I can't wait for it. Because I want to be laughing my ass off the entire time. I just know it. It's going to probably be just me and two other people over my place laughing at this match, because we're like, this is pathetic. Oh my gosh, look how pathetic this is. Pathetic. Hey, how come the IC title isn't getting defended again? You know, that's all I got to say about that. I mean, come on, the IC title, the women's title, they're not getting defended? That's BS. Anyway, so what do you think about this, Aaron?
You know, same thing that you think. You know, I mean, it's just, it's really bad, you know? Like, I think about it. And Michael Cole, I'm sure that he's probably, like, learned a couple moves. But, you know, it's going to be a couple arm bars. It's going to be worse than Jay Leno versus Hulk Hogan, you know?
Oh, that was a great match.
Well, I should, you know what? Yeah, it will be worse than that. It will be worse than Jay Leno versus Hulk Hogan. That's my predictions. I mean, it's just, it's bad, so. Anyway, my question to you is, what did you think of the segment where Cena, Miz, and The Rock had words in the ring? What did you think of this segment?
I thought it was bad. I mean, actually, I take that back. I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it a little bit. I mean, it kind of, I don't know. It just made me, maybe want an itch for more of it, if that makes sense. I just want a little bit more. just a little bit more, a little bit deeper into the segment, but you know, whatever. I thought it was pretty good. Cena and The Rock do work really good together. The Miz is just kind of there, so I think The Miz will, you know, he'll be there. It's basically Cena versus Rock, basically, and Miz will just be there. So
I think that they're Cena versus Rock at the next pay-per-view, which I think is Extreme Rules. I could be wrong, though.
Is it Backlash?
It's not Backlash. I know how much you want to say it is, which is the perfect name for the next pay-per-view, but they're idiots. They need to have Cena versus Rock, and they need to do it on a pay-per-view, because you have no idea how many people would buy that. It's, you don't want to make the mistake of having them wrestle on Raw. While I think it'd be great and people would tune into that Raw, you're going to miss so many pay-per-view buys, in the same way that Hogan Goldberg, you know, they wrestled on Raw or on Nitro, I'm sorry, and they could have done it at a pay-per-view and it would have been huge. It would have been huge. So I think that this segment was awesome, and I really think that the chemistry that Rock and Cena have are, I think it's great. So Moving on to SmackDown, Kofi defeated Wade by DQ. What did you think of this match?
It was okay until I knew what the outcome was going to be. I mean, you just knew this was going to happen. He wasn't going to drop the title right before WrestleMania. Of course, I didn't think that last week either, but hey, that crap happens. But yeah, it was all right. Nothing special. But
you know, the problem is there was really no point to this match. It was just to give Kofi a match before WrestleMania. It's like, hey, you know what? Sorry, Kofi, you're not going to be wrestling at WrestleMania. Instead, we're going to give you this crap match right before to give you something to do. Maybe we'll throw you in a dark. Who knows?
You never know. So Cody, he gets a win over the Chris Masters. No Master Lock, unfortunately.
Darn.
But pretty basically all about Cody. Cody just beats the crap out of him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, and the rest of the show is filled with video packages and access footage. So it's really nothing. SmackDown, there was really not a show, I think, this week for SmackDown that you really could say it's a show. It was all just talking, leading stuff up to WrestleMania. That's all it really was. They could have done this with like a Sunday Night Heat if they really wanted to, but you know, whatever. So anyways, a little NXT. All right, let's move on to our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger, podcaster, not happy with your web host? Check out HostGator.com, where you'll find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space and bandwidth, one-click script installs, and free site builder with an easy control panel. Stop by today and check out how easy it is. And if you use the special code OFFTHEMARK, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting cost. TNA, the three-way for Lockdown is finally official. That is with RVD, Anderson, and Sting. Finally.
Finally. So after 4 or 5 weeks of dancing around this, they finally decided to, you know, pull the trigger and do it. You know, my question to you is why even do that? Why push it for that long of a time? You know, if you're new to the show, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we actually basically did a segment of how you should have booked this TNA. So, you know, go back and listen to that. We kind of talked about what they should have done. I'm glad it's finally official. I am looking forward to this match. I think it will be a good match. But the only downside to this, though, is that you normally do a three-way dance like this after the fact. Like, you would have RVD versus Sting at the pay-per-view, and then maybe the next pay-per-view you have Ken Anderson versus Sting. Mm-hmm. And then the following pay-per-view you have those two versus Sting.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way that they should have done it. So this is another segment.
Or have one guy be the guest referee, so they're all three involved. I mean, you could do it many, many ways, but they just did, I think, the wimpy way.
So. Yeah.
Anyway, so Generation Me has a great match, and it's all against each other. Why was that?
I have no idea. They're talking about how they have the best tag division in all of wrestling. Mm-hmm. So shouldn't they be strengthening their tag division and not tearing it apart?
True. I mean,
why are they taking the WWE approach?
That is a great question. I mean, why? There's no. You should actually improve it, not make it stink.
I honestly think that they're kind of ruining tag teams in a way, because the way you should always do a tag team is you should have a tag team come in, have them be a tag team strictly for like 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and then break them off into singles. And then when you have them come back to wrestle as a tag team again, you get big news. Edge and Christian, Jeff and Matt, mm-hmm. you know, you get big pops for stuff like that. That's the way that you should do it. And these two haven't been in that long. You know, they've been in for a year, You don't break them up yet, and no one's going to care when they get back together if you do so.
Exactly, exactly. So there was a great match, a cage match with Matt Hardy, Bully Ray, and Abyss versus Sting, RVD, and Anderson. It was really, really impressive, I will say. What'd you think?
I'm actually growing more and more impressed with Matt Hardy and Bully Ray. I'm still against breaking up the Dudley Boys or Team 3D. I still think that they should stay together. However, though, I must say, Bully Ray, Bubba Ray, Brother Bubba, whatever you want to call him, he's actually doing fairly good.
Surprisingly.
I think that he's actually doing a good job as a heel. With that said, though, I still don't see him as being a main eventer as a singles. I see him doing the mid-card stuff. I see him going for the TV title. I don't see him going for the world title.
No.
So that much I don't like. However, though, I am very impressed with Matt Hardy.
Yeah, especially how he came in, because we started bashing him in a little bit, and now he comes in and looks pretty good.
I'm so surprised that Matt got his stuff together when he came to TNA, and Jeff fell apart when he came to TNA.
Yeah, that's the weird part. Completely messed up. So anyways, we wanted to talk about something very good this week. We have to talk about the Triple H and Undertaker buildup. I guess my thing with this, I mean, it's been done before, and I don't like how Undertaker comes back, then Triple H comes back. I mean, they could have done this different ways. Why do they have to do it this way?
Yeah. I understand what you're saying. I think my biggest beef with it is the fact that they come out and they have this no talking promo where they're both looking at the WrestleMania 27 sign. And then, you know, Undertaker slicing his throat and Triple H is like, oh, I'm the game. I'm doing the boss's daughter. And which is basically what he did. I don't know. I didn't care for it. Like, why have those two feud? Here's the thing that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Triple H left because of Sheamus, and then he has a promo where he beats the crap out of Sheamus. Sheamus comes out for no reason. He doesn't even say why he comes out, and we did a segment on how you should have booked that. Sheamus comes out, does nothing, Triple H beats the crap out of him. Apparently that feud is over now, and Triple H is focusing on Taker. Taker was taken out by Kane and the Core. Both of them took out Undertaker, okay? And then Taker comes back, and he's like, you know what? I don't really care that those people beat the crap out of me. Instead, I'm going to focus on Triple H because he said that he's doing the boss's daughter. And so that's all that they're focusing on. And I guess, like, are there – like, you probably have some other stuff you want to throw in there about kind of the buildup.
The buildup has had, like, 10 words have been – exchanged. I mean, that's kind of bad, I think. I mean, they don't talk about the fact they've wrestled before. And was it at WrestleMania?
It was at WrestleMania.
And they're not
they've
even
wrestled
about
other times before, too, but they actually had a match at WrestleMania 10 years ago, at WrestleMania 17, and Triple H was on a hot streak, and he put over Undertaker.
Yeah, so, I mean, if it's been done before, they should acknowledge it. I mean, they not acknowledge anytime anyone else had a match before. Why don't they acknowledge this one? Or is it because it's going to be the same outcome?
And that's why. Because the thing is, it kind of goes back to the Hogan Warrior thing when they had a match at WrestleMania 6. Then at Halloween Havoc, I think it was 98, they were going to have a match. And Warrior talks about how they wrestled. And Warrior beat him, and Hogan has never beat Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
And Hogan said that was the dumbest thing to do, because now why are people going to even buy the ticket? You know, why would they buy a ticket to watch us wrestle if they know that you already beat me? So I think that's kind of why they're going with that approach.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what makes the most sense to me. But what do you think about Triple H wanting to wrestle him because it's a bigger title beating the streak than any championship he's ever had?
Yeah, but then they're basically saying that he's going to win. But realistically, if you have him win, that is the streak. I mean, everyone talks about the streak with Goldberg. And that is, I still consider that the streak. But you have, when I hear the streak also, depending on WCW, I think of Goldberg. WWE, I'm going to think of Undertaker. if that streak is broken at any point, it's not going to be as big.
But the thing is, when you think about Goldberg, there's somebody else that you think about too, and the person I think about is Kevin Nash, because Kevin Nash beat Goldberg. He was the first person to do so.
Yeah, but the way he beat him was not cool. He didn't beat him.
No, clean. It wasn't. Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I mean, he booked that segment because he didn't want anyone bigger than himself. And, you know, we're not going to get into kind of that whole politics behind it. But do you think that Triple H would do that to The Undertaker? Because, look, let's face it. While he may not be booking this stuff, he has pull there to basically book it the way that he wants.
I think if he wins, you will hear in our special that we do that we're going to record on that on Sunday night, you're going to hear a lot of I don't think I'll be able to put out clean. There'll be too many beeps, and I think it's also the wrong thing to do. And I think Triple H knows it's about a business. Unless he's planning on taking over the Vince McMahon character, which if he was, I understand, but I don't think he is. I think that Undertaker will have to win clean. I think I'll tell you now, it'll take 3 tombstones.
Yeah, he'll probably like make it so it's this huge grand thing, kind of like with Shawn Michaels. So I understand. Yeah, probably. Now, the other thing too is getting to the build up. Something that I alluded to was that Triple H said that he wanted to wrestle Taker because it's a bigger title than any championship. That's what he said.
Right.
Undertaker said that he wants to wrestle Triple H because why?
Like, yeah, he never said why. That's right.
He's the only challenge in the WWE. I mean, what is it?
That's true. You know, he could say that if he really wanted to.
But like there is no reason for them to really be wrestling. I understood Shawn Michaels Undertaker because when they actually were sitting there, the original fight itself, you know, the original wrestling match, it was the best match I thought of WrestleMania was at 25. It was the best match, in my opinion. Best match at WrestleMania since WrestleMania 20.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a great match. At WrestleMania 26, didn't really build up, but I understood why they were wrestling. I completely understood it. So, but the other thing I wanted to ask you was, what do you think of the build-up? Hasn't been with it like tag team matches or anything like that. It's only been promos from other wrestlers.
Yeah, I don't like that, dude. There's no reason for this. I mean, they should have been wrestling in matches the entire time. You know, or at least have a couple of them, but they didn't do any. And they're going to have to somehow get – I mean, I know professionals like that don't have to worry about ring rust, but, you know, to me, watching it, if I saw them wrestle, I'd be happier. Completely. Even if it was like a minute. Just to just to tease you a little bit. So.
Yeah. And you can do tag team because the nice thing about a tag team match is that you're not in the ring that long. You know, you may be in the ring for a minute, tag out. You get a little bit of a break, come back in for a minute, you know? So that's the nice thing about them.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. You know, so, yeah. But the thing is Undertaker even going to be back full time on SmackDown, you know, after this match? Probably not. He's probably just going to be gone for a while.
I think he's going to retire.
He said that he'll retire when he's 20-0.
Oh, that's going to be a long time.
Yeah.
Triple H loses. So anyway, so that's all the time we got for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, then you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I am AHughes86. He is AP Hughes. I want to thank Section 86 and 86 Production for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank my co-hosts for coming on each and every week. And I want to thank the listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.